Tonight, God's word comes to us from the prophet Haggai, the 10th of the minor prophets. We've been looking at them in this series. This is the, as I mentioned, the second shortest of the minor prophets. So we're going to read both chapters this evening, focusing our attention on chapter 2. But we'll begin reading with Haggai 1 and verse 1. What we hear now is God's word. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought in it in your home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I shall fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands. Now what they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider this from this day forward. Before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to the heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day of the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. And the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I am about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots and their riders. And the horses and their riders shall go down, everyone, by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. Here we end the reading of God's Holy Word. Well, I mentioned last week that Haggai, being a very short book, yet is filled with wonderful treasures and encouragements for God's people. Last week, we really only had half of the sermon as we looked at chapter 1. And I felt a little bit badly about that because chapter 1 is very directive. It is very straightforward. We talked about the fact that Haggai comes to the people and says it is time to build the temple. They had been brought back to the promised land. They had begun to build the temple back in about 536 or so, but faced some opposition. And so for 16 years, the temple lay in ruins. For 16 years, nothing was done. And the opposition had passed long before, but they never got back to the work. They were too concerned with their own homes, with their own matters. And Haggai comes with this rather direct message from God, look, it's time to get back to work. It's time to build the temple. He encouraged them to straighten their priorities and to make sure that God's temple came first. We talked about how that message affects us even yet today, not so much in terms of the building of a physical temple or building, but the fact that God calls us to be active and diligent in the building of His church, putting God's church and its glory before our own convenience. And the call to us as individuals to use the various talents we have, the various spheres of influence God puts us in, to tell others the glory of the gospel, to invite others to come to church with us. It's time to build the church, Haggai said. And even as Israel committed to doing that, we read that the Lord stirred up their spirit. When they committed to obedience, the Spirit infused that work, and the work went forward. That was the very direct command from Haggai last week. Now tonight we get really the second half of that, a much more encouraging word. Not so much the command, look, you must do it. We had that last week. It's time to build the church. But now the encouragement.
the encouragement that Haggai came and gave to the people of Israel, the encouragement that we still need yet today. As we see God continuing to work, as we commit once again to doing what we can to tell others the glory of God's truth, but that He will be with us in that task. He will help us in the task of building the church. The time frame of Haggai is important to take note of. We read that in chapter 2, in the seventh month of the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord comes to Haggai once again. Chapter 1 ends in the sixth month. So it had been a month since they committed to building. A month since they committed to getting down to work and building the temple once again. But as you know, in a month, a building project doesn't go very far. And during this past month, we know by the time references here, there were at least a full week they had to take off because of a religious feast they had to attend, and two other feast days as well. So after a month of working, they weren't getting very far. After a month of trying to commit to building the temple and working on those foundations, not much work had been done. And the people were getting discouraged. Some of them were old enough to remember the temple before it was destroyed. Some of them could remember Solomon's temple, a beautiful temple, a glorious temple. And so Haggai asked that question in verse 3, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory when Solomon built it? How do you see it now? Is it as nothing in your eyes? They could compare the meager foundation and the few stones put in place back to the old days, and it looks so small. And Haggai comes with this word of encouragement. A word given to us three times in verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. Be strong, O Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Yes, it doesn't look like it did before, but we're not finished yet. It's only been a month. Be strong, be strong, be strong, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Work, because I am with you. I am the one who will help you to build this temple. I am the one who will encourage you in the task you've been given. I am with you, God says to His people, as you undertake the task of building the temple. And with that, they could have great confidence for the future. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, says God. And go forth and do exactly what I told you. For he says in verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, so the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. I'm going to bring treasures in, says God. You thought it was great before. Just wait till you see it now. The gold is mine, says the Lord. The silver is mine, says the Lord. And the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. You thought Solomon's temple was great. Wait till you see the temple that I am building through you now. God's encouragement in the work He had given them to do. An encouragement at a time where they were becoming discouraged. We are called to build the church. We are called to use the various gifts and talents we have to share the truth with others and to build up the church of Jesus Christ. And yet we look tonight, and although we're arranged a bit differently, we have about the same number of people as last week. We haven't seen a dramatic increase in our numbers. There are not 200 extra people here tonight. You know, we look back in history at times, and it's easy to become discouraged about building the church. We think about that sermon on Pentecost. The Pentecost sermon was preached, and 3,000 people joined the church in one day. 3,000. And we read in the Apostolic Church that daily people were being added to the church of God. And we look around today and we say, we just don't see it. We don't see that kind of influx in the church like it used to be in the days of old, like in Solomon's time. How great it was back then. It's easy to get discouraged. We think about the times of the Reformation and times of revival when the Spirit was active in a particularly powerful way. And preachers would preach a very basic message. Man is a sinner. God saves sinners. Come to Him and be saved. It was something fantastic, but it was glorious. And many were saved. Revivals took place. Why don't we see that today? And it's easy to get discouraged. Perhaps even in our own lives, we think of former congregations we have been in. We might have come from very large congregations, and we look around and we say, well, it's just not that big. It's not that glorious. It's not that grand. And it's easy to get discouraged. But God, just as He came to Old Testament Israel, comes to us and says, be strong, be strong, be strong, do the work, for I am with you. The encouragement given to us. God is at work. God will work through you to build His church in His time. And as He does that, He receives all the glory. If it was up to us to finally be responsible for building the church, the glory goes to us too. But God is the one who's at work. He works through us. He works in us. But God is the one who will use you to make those contacts, to talk with those people that you know, and then He receives the glory. He receives the praise. Just as Israel needed a word of encouragement, perhaps we do also. Yes, it's time to build the church. We all agree it's time to build the church. But it seems like the work goes so slowly. My friends, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. God is with us. And God will bring in His people at His time. We read that in verse 10, in the 24th day of the ninth month, the word of the Lord came again to Haggai. It's now 2 months later. It's 3 months since the work began, and they're still not seeing that greatness. And so we have these rather strange questions given to encourage the people to be patient in the challenge given to them, to be patient as they move forward, to be patient and to wait upon God. Two rather strange questions. Verse 11. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? And the priest says, no, it does not. What if someone who is unclean touches any of these things? Do they become unclean? And the answer is yes, they do. The people wanted to see the temple be built quickly and with its former glory. And when they didn't see that, now 3 months down the road, again a word of encouragement, a word about holiness. They were building the holy temple of God. And you would expect that that work would go very quickly and very well. They're building the place where God said His name would dwell. But it was going slowly and taking time. And so God comes with these questions to remind them. that just because the work they were undertaking was a holy work, that holiness would not necessarily spread on to them, so that everything in their lives would get better. They're reminded, remember what it was like before you began to build. There was not enough of this, not enough of that, not enough of the next thing. And it's still that way. And they said, but look, we've been doing the work. And God says, don't forget, just because you're engaged in a holy activity, that holiness is not contagious. The fact that they had not seen the blessing yet was not a fact that God wasn't with them, but it recognized the sinfulness of their life yet. In fact, just the opposite, their unholy hands were being called to do a holy work. So it should not surprise them if not immediately their fortunes in life changed. God had promised to bless, but they were still doing a holy work with unholy hands. And that holiness of the temple did not transfer to them and to their families, and to their lives. The lesson: they had to be patient and to wait upon God for the blessing that would come. And it would come in spite of their defilement. In spite they still were unclean, and the things they touched were unclean. The blessing they sought would come in due time, but in God's time. It had only been 3 months. They weren't seeing things happen as fast as they wanted. But they had to be taught to be patient upon God. Verse 19. Is the seed yet in the barn? And we have to know what time this was written. We have the time frame given to us, this 24th day of the ninth month. This would be after the seed had been sown. So the seed was not in the barn yet. It was in the field. But it was before the harvest had come up. After the seed's in the field, before the harvest comes up, they are completely dependent upon God. And at this time of complete dependence, we read in verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? No, it's not. Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have yielded nothing. They're not coming up yet, but from this day on, I will bless you. That is, in the future, the blessing is coming. I will take care of you. I will do what I promised, but in my time, not in your time. We might wish that next week there would be 100 new people in church, but it will be God's time. That may be His time. It may not as well. And so we don't say, God isn't blessing us. We recognize our responsibility to continue to be diligent in the work He has given. It's time to build the church, but built in God's time. It may be in God's providence that we do grow in this coming year, and we praise God for past growth. It may be that we do not. But that fruit of the growth is God's business, not ours. Our business is to be faithful. Our business is to sow the seed, put it in the ground, and then wait for the increase to come. So it is time to build the church. It is time to build the temple. But when we are diligent, when we are faithful, and if we don't see God acting immediately, we're not allowed to give up. They could not give up the call of building the temple. Just because it wasn't going as fast as they wanted, they were still called to work, to be diligent, for God would be with them. God gives this final word through Haggai on this same day in this same month. A word to Zerubbabel, the governor. And in this word, we have God's promise to restore the blessings to His people in the future. Verse 21, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I'm about to shake the heavens and the earth and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I'm about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots and their riders.
and the horses and riders shall go down, everyone by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. God would restore Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Zerubbabel of the royal family. God would restore him as his servant, chosen by God, to a royal position. God had made promises to his people years before, three promises. He promised that they would have a land, he promised they would have a temple, and he promised that there would always be his man on David's throne. Then the captivity came, and all those were taken away. Now, they're restored to the land. The temple is being rebuilt. And you, Zerubbabel, will be my servant, declares the Lord. Three promises of God restored to the people after captivity. Three promises God had made perfectly fulfilled once again. You, Zerubbabel, will be like a signet ring, for I have chosen you. A signet ring, children, was a ring that the king held on to. He would either wear it on his hand or wear it around his neck. And when the king made an official proclamation to guarantee that this was really what the king said, they would take some wax and put some wax on that document, and he would impress that ring in the document with his seal, a signet ring. This is really from me. This is really going to happen. God says, Zerubbabel, you are that signet ring. You are the guarantee of the promise that there will be always a king on David's throne. Now we know that Zerubbabel lived and Zerubbabel died. And yet Zerubbabel was a symbol of a promise that God would keep. That he would raise up another king in David's line on his throne to righteously and justly rule his people. Zerubbabel points forward to that greater king, the man of God's choosing, Jesus Christ, King of the nations, King of the world, King over all peoples. And he himself is the one then who comes with the presence of his Spirit and says, I will build my church. I will use you. I will use your gifts. I will use your talents. But I will do it. You can be sure, just like Zerubbabel was a symbol for those people, Jesus Christ is our guarantee today that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, we have every reason to be encouraged. Encouraged in the task that God gives us. Encouraged as we share the truth we know with those around us. Encouraged to tell others Jesus Christ is alive and ruling and king, and come with me and worship him. God himself has promised he will build his church. People of God, be encouraged, for Christ reigns even now as king, as ruler, as head of the church. And we serve him when we go out and tell others. We serve him when we invite others to church with us. We serve him and honor him. And he then receives all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. The encouragement from Haggai, it's time to build the church. For God himself, through his Son Jesus Christ, rules and reigns over all the nations, over all of his peoples, and will build that particular people for himself. Haggai, the prophet of God's house, the prophet of God's call to build, and the prophet of God's encouragement. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Work, for I am with you. May those words live and resound in our hearts. And when we get discouraged, remind ourselves God has not forgotten his promises. He will do what he has said. And he will build his church in his time and in his way through us. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do praise you as the great ruler over all creation. And we praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who said, I will build my church. Lord God, encourage our hearts tonight. Strengthen us for the task you have given. That where we have been silent in the past to speak, you might open our mouths to share the truth that we know. That your church might be built up. That you might bring in the treasure of the nations to come and to fill your house, and this glory might be more glorious than anything in the past. If we have been hesitant, if we have been disobedient in our challenge, O God, forgive us, cleanse us, and strengthen us. May we do the work, knowing that you work through us by the power of your Spirit. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.